You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera alongside co-host Jay Gonzalez, and you're listening to 1030 The Voice. Welcome to another Monday, Jay. How are you?
Hanging in there again, Steve. It was a hot weekend.
It does not discriminate. Everybody
suffered. It does not. I didn't even venture out to do any golfing or anything.
But you watched.
Yeah. So I did watch.
I wanted to go there because you were telling me, and we'll talk a lot about it on the back end of the show, but some dude won a lot of money.
Well, you know, with gambling legalized in so many places, it's so much more out in the open than it used to be. Uh-huh. And so there was a lot on Twitter about this gambler in I assume Vegas. I don't know if he's in Vegas or Colorado or where, but he hooked his wagon to Colin Morikawa at the Workday charity golf tournament last week, and Morikawa just he filled up the bag with money. This guy bet on Morikawa to lead after the first round, and he won $200,000 on that. Now, he's betting thousands of dollars.
Sure, sure.
Made a $4,000 bet on that. He bet something like $10,000 for Morikawa to win the tournament, which he did in a playoff over Justin Thomas. He won $280,000 on that. He made a second bet during the tournament on some other odds for him to win, so he hit that. And then he had also made a bet on Morikawa to finish in the top five. So he cashed all five tickets, all four tickets, for over $1 million.
How much did the winner win? Not him.
He won, I don't know, I think it's a couple of million dollars.
Oh, he was a couple.
Yeah.
Okay, so he almost won.
Yeah, he won without having to play, right? But it was a great golf tournament. It was riveting on Sunday. Went to a three-hole playoff. And just watching these guys, what they can do. Mm-hmm. You know, the PGA took that tagline, these guys are good. They're really good. Yeah. Colin Morikawa was a year out of Cal. He went to Cal and played golf there. He's already won two tournaments. He was playing Justin Thomas, another one of the young studs on the tour. And these guys just went at it. Morikawa was down three holes to play. He caught him, went to the playoff. On, I think, the second playoff hole, Justin Thomas drills a 50-foot putt, and Morikawa's got about a 25-footer that he's got to make just to keep the playoff going, and then he makes it.
Yeah.
And then they go to the next hole, and Morikawa wins.
Do you think the guy who gambled was sweating it out? I doubt it.
I don't think he was sweating it out. If he's got that kind of money to play.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Right? If he's got that kind of money to play, he's just having fun.
Sure.
But that's, you know, that's the juice of it. I mean, I would have been, if I had $25 on that, I'd be sweating it out. But that's the fun of it, you know?
I was going to say that. When was the last time you hit a big, not a big money thing, but when your stuff could not miss?
I've never had stuff that could not miss.
But you know what I'm saying? You go to Vegas, or even with the friends, you say, God, I can pick anything, and it just doesn't stop.
Yeah, you know, this one time we bet a couple of years ago, we bet a 10 team money line parlay.
So everybody just
put like $20 into it. Okay, there were a bunch of us. So all we were going to win was like $40. You know, we were going to collect $60. It was really not a lot. But what we were doing is we were betting on heavy favorites.
Okay.
Because you were betting money lines that were...
Sure, sure.
You know, I mean, one of the games we had, it was Ohio State playing Maryland. This was when Ohio State, they were undefeated.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
All that kind of stuff. And they were playing Maryland. And we had that in our... So, you know, Ohio State... And it was just... All Ohio State had to do was win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you remember this game a couple of years ago, but Ohio State was down like 3 touchdowns at halftime. And we thought, we're going to lose that one?
Yeah,
That's the one we're going to lose.
That was a gimme.
That's the one we're going to lose, because there were a couple of even money kind of yeah, games. And we're going to lose the one that was a sure thing. Yeah. Ohio State came back and won the game, but we sweated that one out the whole way. Yeah, we ended up hitting that parlay, but we didn't win a bunch of money. Okay. It was just a thing to have something going the
whole
weekend.
Sure. So I was going to say, because golf is back and slowly but surely we're going to get the other ones. I shouldn't say surely. You must have some of your sports salivation satisfied.
Oh, yeah. You know, because, watching golf. It's, look, I was inside the house Saturday and Sunday because it was just so hot.
Right.
And then and actually on Sunday, because they were expecting weather at the tournament, they started early. So when I woke up, the final round was on and it ended like by noon.
Uh-huh.
So, I got my first half of the day was locked in. Nobody was bothering me. I was laying on the couch. I was watching the golf tournament and I was riveted to the TV watching that.
Right, right. Know that it was a good weekend for you.
Yeah, it was fun.
Outside of the 130. Well, you didn't have to deal with 130. You were inside.
Except for getting blasted and trying to make sure that our patio furniture didn't blow away on Saturday night. We got hit hard.
Right. Let's talk real quick. We're going to have former U of A basketball player from the 60s, Warren Rustand, one of the, I call him the Steve Kerr before Steve Kerr was Steve Kerr, because he's that smart dude who's just got it all.
Smart guy, was a great athlete. He was an All-American, and he was an academic All-American, all whack three times. So he was a great athlete. And then he went on and he's one of the, been an incredible businessman. He was in, he worked for a time in the Gerald Ford administration.
Yeah, politics,
guy's been all over the place, and he's been ahead of some great companies, and he's been around a long time.
Yeah, he's been on the show. But in fact, his timeline came up in May, and I think I got to get Warren Rustand back on. What a great guy, a smart guy, like you were saying. So we'll have him for like maybe 15 for 30 minutes. Anybody wants to call in, please do. We'd like your call, 790-2040. Another week of sports getting closer and closer. We'll see more. Well, we have a couple minutes. Another league shut down.
Or
at least for the winter.
Well,
for the
Patriot
spring.
League shut its fall sports. They're going to go to the spring for football. That unfortunately affects a local kid, Will Parker, the son of Glenn Parker, who got a scholarship to go to play at Colgate, and he's got no football to play this fall, which is probably the first time since he was 6 years old maybe, or however long he's been playing. But we're starting, there's a little bit more of that. You're starting to see the smaller schools go towards that, in large part because the revenue isn't as big a deal to them as it is to, say, the SEC, the Pac-12, and those guys got to figure out a way to play.
Right, right. And you'll see that because they're not going to be making any money from the bigger schools.
Right.
Like Arizona was supposed to play Portland State.
Right.
That was a lot of money.
Right. That cost Portland State $500,000.
Yeah.
I did see that Hawaii, though, who lost four games now because of reschedulings. One of them was from the Patriot League and three Pac-12 games. They scheduled Robert Morris, and I'm like, do they know what's going on here? They scheduled Robert Morris for September 26th. I'm like, who's going to go where, and how do you think you guys are going to play?
Right, right. You think it's too early in the game?
Don't know how they're going to do that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is still too early for a lot of different things. I mean, when you're there, you're there, but it's...
I just don't know. You just hear a lot more gloom and doom in the media. I was listening to the Yahoo Sports podcast on the way in. Three prominent writers, Pat Forty being one of them, who was also on Dan Patrick, and he is incredibly pessimistic about there being any college football.
I'm
this
with
fall.
Him. I don't know the what scale of 1 to 10.
He's like, it's not happening.
Okay, so I'm right below that. What does that mean?
He says he just thinks it's not happening. There's just not any way that it can happen. Especially when you continue to see stories of college students having parties, and there was a report of a college party in Michigan that had 50 people at it, and 40 of them got the coronavirus. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and we've talked about this ad nauseum for the last month.
Right, and again, I'm passing that along not knowing it's a fact.
Right.
I'm just telling you that these guys mentioned that, and I don't know if that really happened, but whether that happened or not, those kinds of parties are happening.
We know that. We talked about that in Alabama. Other places.
Cal, it's happening up at Cal.
Cal.
All kinds of play. And I'm sure it's going to happen at the U of A.
Let's take a quick break here at 10:30 The Voice and come back and talk to Warren Rustand.
Time to update those old kitchen cabinets? Call the Window Depot today. The Window Depot is not only the number one warehouse for windows and doors, we now have a great selection of kitchen and bath cabinets at Tucson's best prices. The Window Depot is Tucson's top spot for granite and quartz countertops to finish the new kitchen or the replacement of that old worn out Formica. So call us today at 290-8545 or 622-6430. The Window Depot, windows, doors, granite, and new kitchens.
These days, most families are concerned with having the right insurance coverage. Protecting your family, home, auto, and other valuable possessions can be challenging and sometimes expensive. Crest Insurance gives you flexible options and solutions while saving you money. Insurance is not one size fits all, and at Crest, we find the coverage that's best for you and your family. Visit us online at www.crestins.com or call us toll free at 888-881-5765.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And now on the phone, we have former U of A hoop star Warren Rustan. Warren, how are you?
I'm terrific, thank you. How are you guys?
We're doing well.
Yeah, we're doing good, Warren. It's good to hear from you.
Well, it's good to be on the show with you, and thanks for the invitation. I appreciate it.
One quick question. I know you're kind of like the most decorated player from the 60s. In fact, a lot of firsts happened with you. Do you still have that silver medal, I think it was, from the 66 games?
Certainly do. Yep, I have it in a little cabinet. I'll probably give it away to one of our grandchildren one of these days.
Nice, nice, nice. Very nice.
Warren, you know, having been a great college basketball player, you had a chance to play in the NBA and stuff like that. What kind of a sports fan are you? You know, what do you follow? You know, are you partial to college basketball? Do you like a little bit of everything? And how do you look at it from where you sit?
Well, I'm first a participant before a fan. I love to participate in a wide range of sports and have my entire life, so that's been fun. But secondly, I'm a typical fan probably in that I enjoy the playoffs more than the regular season in almost every case in every sport. But I like sports across the entire spectrum of sports, right? So, I'm going to watch tennis when Federer's playing Nadal, and I'm going to watch soccer when the U.S. women's team is playing for the world championship. And, you know, I get excited about excellence in sports, about people who perform at the highest level. And I've always found that enjoyable and exciting. So I love all sports.
So this time of year and what we're going through must be very, I don't know, what do you think about it? Because there's no sports to watch.
Well, on one hand, it's probably good for all of us to take a break, right? And spend more time with our families and True. Spend more time concentrating on other things. So I think that in some ways, this giant timeout that's been called by the globe, right, called the pandemic, is pretty interesting, I think. And while it's taken sports away from us, lots of things away from a lot of people that we're accustomed to, it's also allowed us, I think, in a really great way to focus and concentrate on those things that are closest to us, meaning our families and others, that are really more important. And we get caught up in the busyness of other things that takes away from family and other and important things. So I think in some ways this virus, although deadly and difficult and challenging for so many, there's also some good that we need to see that's come out of it.
It's interesting that you say that because, you know, we've talked to during this time, you know, coaches have been so much more available to us over the last last couple of months. Sure. You know, and in talking to them, they've said just that, you know, boy, as bad as this has been and as hard as it's been, you know, to be a coach and dealing with your players and whatnot, they've looked at it that way. They've had more time with their families than probably they've ever had. You know, Dia Barnes mentioned that and talked about how, you know, she's home with her son and has seen him a lot more. And you know, all the coaches have sort of said that. So I think you make a good point there. Although I think we're all getting kind of tired of it, aren't we?
Well, it'll be fun to see competition again, however limited that may be and however challenging it may be, and probably without fans. But still, It's always good to see competition. It's good to see athletes competing, and I think we all enjoy that.
Back in the day, after you finished playing here, you had a chance to play in the NBA. You didn't. You chose something else. But you were also an assistant coach. How was that, and what made you get out of it?
Well, I really enjoyed coaching. It was a lot of fun. And Bruce Larson asked me to be his first ever full-time assistant. And so I did that. I concentrated on recruiting. I coached the freshman team. We had a really good time, and I thoroughly enjoyed the coaching. But there were just other things that I wanted to accomplish in my life beyond sports. And while sports are interesting and they're fun and they're competitive and challenging, there's also a lot of other things in life that I find interesting, and I wanted to move on to do some other things. And I've had a lot of time on my hands over the last 50 years to do some fun things in corporate America and politics, in academia. So I feel like I've walked across a wide range of topics, and that's been fun for me. That wouldn't have been fun for everyone, but each of us chooses our own path.
Well, I was going to say, if somebody who gets drafted by the NBA and chooses not to go in that direction, I get it. It was a different time, and we even talked to Eddie Leone, who got drafted three times before mm-hmm. he decided to go ahead and go play professional baseball. But when you think of what was going through your mind at that time, what was unappealing about the NBA for you?
Oh, it wasn't a matter of it being unappealing. It was certainly appealing. It was exciting, highly competitive. I was drafted with the same team as Rick Barry, who was, Rookie of the Year and became one of the greatest 50 players in the history of the sport. Nate Thurman, who's another top 50 player. Tom Mascheri, Al Attles, who went on to become mm-hmm. not only a great NBA player, but a great coach, general manager. So that was a great group of guys, and I got to know them and so forth. But it wasn't my long-term goal. It was never something – I had never geared my life to playing in the NBA. I wanted to be as good a college player as I could be, and then I wanted to go on to graduate school. I wanted to do other things. And so it was never it wasn't as if it was unappealing. It's just that wasn't part of my future design.
And turned into a TV reporter. What was up with that? us newspaper guys aren't too happy with those TV guys.
My life is a series of experiences. I didn't have a career as such, right? It's because I couldn't keep a job, probably. So I just have done a lot of things. My life is a series of experiences that I've had, each one exciting in its own right, each one a chapter in my life. And then I simply close that chapter and move on to a new chapter. So for 2.5 years, I was on NBC as a sports reporter at 5 o'clock and 10 o'clock. I enjoyed it. It was fun. I learned about TV. I learned about the media, which I really wanted to do because I've been involved in media in other ways over my life. So, again, it was just a good learning experience.
What was the best or biggest story that you had to cover back then?
Holy cow, that's really interesting. I don't know. This was in the was in the early 70s, 70 mm-hmm. through 72 or something like that, right?
Right, 69, 72.
It was the end of the Boston Celtics' great era. It was the greatest team in basketball. They won 11 NBA championships in 13 years. The Yankees had just concluded their great dynasty, obviously, with Yogi Berra and that group. So it was the end. It was a transition in sports from two great dynasties to other teams now asserting themselves. And I saw that transition as being interesting and how other teams began to build to compete with the great dynasties. And so it was a fun time, I think, to be around. And you looked at the great basketball players at the time, Wilt Chamberlain and Bill Russell and those kind of guys. They were among the best of all time. So it was a fun time in sports.
With all the business that you've been involved in, highly successful and all that, has there ever been an opportunity, or did you ever look into or think about maybe, getting into pro sports ownership or anything like that? I know there's some Tucson businessmen who got involved in that with the Diamondbacks when they came to Arizona. Ever any interest in any of that for you?
Yeah, we looked at it really hard. We owned a shipbuilding company down in Louisiana. We built cargo crew and utility boats for the offshore oil platforms. And a guy came to us and we had a chance to buy the Houston Rockets. They were in very difficult financial circumstances and we could have purchased them just for the debt. And at the time that was, a reasonable number. And my college roommate and I, a guy named Bill Nicholson, who went on, he transferred out of Arizona and went on to become a small college All-American at the University of Nevada in Reno. We looked at it very carefully and then ultimately decided not to. Probably one of the really dumb mistakes we've ever made because that franchise would have been, just in the value of the franchise would have been extraordinarily better today than it was then, but we chose not to at that time.
Did the Maloofs?
Yeah, we had a chance, and we looked at it very carefully.
Did the Maloofs have buy it then? Maybe the mid 70s, I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So where do we send our resumes?
Hey, listen, I'd take your resumes any day. I love to listen to you.
So what do you focus on now, Warren? What do you, how are you spending your time? How much are sports a part of it? And, leisurely, are you semi-retired? I mean, what are you doing?
Well, a long time ago, I asked my dad, I heard him talking about retirement with some of his friends when we lived on a farm in Minnesota. I was about 10 years old. And I said, Dad, what does retirement mean? And he gave me a classic definition. He said it means living by choice. And I thought that was a great definition. So I've technically been retired since I was 21 or 22. And I just live by choice, right? So the last 10 years, I've really focused my time, 13 years, I've focused my time on coaching and teaching entrepreneurs all over the world. And so I work with a group of about 14,000 entrepreneurs in 100 countries, and I spend time traveling all over the world. Coaching and teaching them about how to build their business, how to scale their businesses, how to do strategic planning, how to select the right talent, all those kinds of things. And while I'm doing that, I was also CEO of two major corporations, a $2.5 billion company and another billion dollar company. So I had fun doing that. So, I always try to keep busy in a lot of things. And then, of course, in our family, we've had two All-American athletes, two All-American golfers, our oldest son, Eric, and our youngest son, Clark. And then we had one of our sons compete at University of Hawaii, was on the basketball team, University of Hawaii. All of our kids are athletes. They all compete in lots of sports. So even today, tomorrow night we're going out to play pickleball like crazy, and we still play tennis and pickleball and ride mountain bikes and do all that kind of stuff. So, I'm not sure I'm ever going to slow down. I think you just go as hard as you can to the finish line, and then you collapse and hope you can break the tape, and that's about it.
I've been retired since 21, like you. I wish I would have saved more money because, God, you know how this journalism world is. It's not, you can never have enough.
You guys are making a fortune.
Now you're just trying to be nice. How does that happen with the kids? Because obviously golf, you can do that all the time, and the kids, you and your wife must have a lot of athletic ability, and these guys are not simple guys. They're good guys.
Yeah. My wife's a good athlete. I try now and then, and we just have always played sport and always done sport, and we just always took our children with us when we were competing. So they were always with us on the golf course, the tennis court, wherever, and they just naturally gravitated to sports. And they were all multi-sport athletes. Our only daughter, we have six boys, but our only daughter led Sabino High School to the only undefeated season in the history of volleyball, girls volleyball in the state of Arizona. She was a state tennis champion. She's a great swimmer. She's probably the best athlete of all the kids. But they're all athletes, and they all play multiple sports. I think that's one of the things we see today that I might take slight exception to is this notion that we want children to specialize so early in their life. I'm not sure their bodies are made for that, and I'm not sure that's good experience. The greatest athletes that I've known over the years have been multi-sport athletes.
Warren,
more than one.
We're going to take.
I just think that's better for kids.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. More eclectic. Can you stick around with us, and we're going to solve the world's problems on the other end, of the commercial here?
Absolutely.
Great.
Where you bank really does matter. Hughes Federal Credit Union is proud to be recognized by Forbes as one of Arizona's best credit unions 3 years in a row. This national recognition highlights our commitment to high-quality products and services, our customer service, digital services, and financial advice. At Hughes Federal Credit Union, we offer low rates on loans, lower fees, and many free services. Make the switch. Join Hughes today. Visit hughesfcu.org/best. Certain restrictions apply, insured by NCUA.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
Being named the 2020 El Tour de Tucson dedication recipient was such an honor. I had been a part of El Tour in the past, and I know about some of these amazing names that have been dedication recipients in the past, but it was an honor to be chosen for that, not only for me, but for my organization that supports people with disabilities.
I've met so many people through the riding and through L-Tour that are now some of my closest and dearest friends.
One of the things that makes L-Tour, you know, so safe and so well ran is all the law enforcement that gets involved blocking up the roads. My favorite part of the course on the newer course was the backside of Pistol Hill.
I think what's amazing about L-Tour is there's something for everyone's ability level. It includes the opportunity to be out there. You can even do a 1 miler. You can do something at home if you're limited to being indoors. That's what's great about it is all abilities are encouraged. It's very inclusive.
Hey, welcome back to Why on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. And on the phone, we have Warren Rustand, formerly of the U of A, big-time business guy.
Warren, we wanted to pick your brain as, like we said, a highly successful businessman. You just said you led $2 billion companies. Okay, if you're the commissioner or the executive director of the NCAA, what are you doing right now to try and demonstrate a little leadership that I think there's an impression out there that the NCAA hasn't been able to lead with all this going on?
Yeah, I think it's a difficult job, right? I think there are a lot of critics of the NCAA right now. There's certainly a role for the NCAA to play, and whether or not it needs to be a billion-dollar business or not, I think is something else. But I think all of the issues associated with the NCAA are now under scrutiny. And they're trying to lead during this difficult time, and I think that's very, very hard to do. I think we're going to get more leadership out of institutions and conferences during this period of time probably than we are out of the NCAA. If you take the issue of athletes being able to use their likeness for monetary gain while they're in colleges and universities, the NCAA really has been trailing on that issue for a long time. It fought it for a long time and then slowly got on board and then arguably it's on board, but the guidelines are yet to come.
Do you think?
And I think that.
Go ahead. No, you go. You go ahead, please.
So I think that the NCAA has to be a leadership organization, and it needs to get out in front of the critical issues facing intercollegiate athletics today. And I think they've failed to do that. They've been focused on enforcement and being people who want everyone to abide by rules. And the rules book now is 1,500 pages long or something like that. It's only become increasingly complex and difficult. And I think what schools want and what athletes want is just fair competitive process and an honorable way to conduct sports at the university level.
Because everyone's going through this situation now, do you think that maybe 2020 will retransform the way people think and the NCAA will be different now, or how you could talk to, like you talked about, maybe the conferences will take more control of their own area?
Yeah, and I think we're seeing some of that with Dr. Robbins' leadership on the issue of the coronavirus with the Pac-12. And I think we're going to see some strong university presidents who are going to drive conferences in a particular way. So I would say if the three of us sat down and we said, okay, clean sheet of paper, we're going to create something called the NCAA. What would that look like today? And would it be different than what it is? And I believe it would be different. And I think they can still I think they can create the compelling model that will provide leadership, but I think it has to be reinvented. I think it's an organization that needs to be completely reinvigorated and reinvented to be relevant in the future.
So you mind a call from the NCAA? You could tell them this.
I think we're just going to go ahead and call HR and see if they've got an opening over there.
It's a good idea.
I'd be more than happy to help them. That's what we do for companies all the time. We reinvent companies.
And really that's it. And I feel like it's become this big, giant Titanic of a ship that just can't seem to change directions when it needs to. And it's to not sound trite about it, it is about to hit the iceberg if something doesn't change with it. Because you've got all the colleges and the conferences who are just kind of sick of how they do business.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of frustration. I think the NCAA basketball investigation that we've seen now ongoing for, 3 years is a classic example of that, right? It takes forever to do investigations, to get judgments from the NCAA. And it always seems to penalize the institution and it penalize the program and the kids after something has happened, when those kids are either gone or the coaches are gone or whatever. And so it never seems to fall squarely on the shoulders of those who perpetrated whatever crime was reported, right? So I think it's an unfortunate situation. As I say, I think it needs to be reinvented. I think it could still be a great institution, but I think it needs real work.
Well, what would you change about college basketball right now?
Oh, my goodness gracious. I'd shorten the season, number one. I think we're getting into almost 40 games. If you go all the way, you're almost at 40 games a season. That's just too much for college athletes. I think we need to rethink the role of sports and universities. I think there's a different role for those who don't want to go to a university and would like to go to development leagues or go to minor leagues and places like that and prepare for the pros. And I think that's fine and well, and kids can make that choice.
Kids who
enroll at universities, the university is a special place. And we need to treat it that way. It's a place to be educated, not to become a professional athlete. And I think for those who stay the course and do become professional athletes, that's great. That's what, 1%, 2%?
It's small.
Of all those who play, who plays college sports are going to go on to play. So we can't design a program that's geared to the minority. We have to design a program that's geared to the majority. And the majority are going to go on to become doctors and lawyers and teachers and coaches and take their place in society and do a great thing. They're not going to play professional sports. For those who are in school just to play professional sports, I think there are other avenues.
Yeah. You know, and I disagree with people who say, you know, if you let the great high school basketball players not come to college and go somewhere else, that it's going to diminish the product. I just disagree with that completely.
No, plus people go watch the school. They're going to cheer the school and the people in the school.
And the sports will seek their own level, and they'll still be outstanding because there's plenty of great athletes who also want to get a great education.
100% agree.
We need to look at the Stanfords and the Harvards and the Dukes and the Yales and the Chicagos, and, you know, they produce great teams and they produce great scholars. And I think that's where we ought to be focused.
I'm getting the T-shirts tomorrow. Vote for Warren.
it's funny because I'm in 100% agreement with you on that. I've said for a long time, if a kid doesn't want to be in school, then don't come to school. You know, people get upset when guys transfer or they leave early because they want to go play professional ball. I'm like, then that's the best thing for them. Then go and let the people who want to be here stay here and do what they do.
No question.
Yeah. I've always felt that way, and that's part of the NCAA and professional sports coming together on some rules governing age and academic requirements and those kinds of things. And I hope they do at some point, but I think it's kind of all archaic right now, and it's the fans are getting abused, universities are getting abused in the process. I just don't think it's a healthy environment.
You were in school almost 60 years ago. I hate to date you, but what were you've had some great accomplishments, like huge accomplishments. What were some of the big ones?
Oh, I mean, I, compared to others, I haven't done anything in my life. So, you know, done great things, right? But I just had so many great experiences and fun along the way. For instance, I thought playing great basketball, at least as good as I could play, I tried to reach my potential in basketball. But there were other things also at the university level. I wanted to be involved in student government. I wanted to be a good student, right? I wanted to find the person that I'd like to spend my life with and marry that person. And I was able to do that. Student body president, right? So I was involved in student government the whole time. I was involved in a fraternity. We worked hard at our academics and still played really good basketball. I don't think today athletes are allowed to have a full college experience because coaches necessarily want to dominate their time. They want them in study halls. They want them at practice. They want them breaking down film. They want so they may go to class or they may take online classes, but they're not having a complete college experience in any way, right? And I think that's unfortunate because college and university life is a period of growth and rounding and preparation for a successful life. And I think that we need to require more of our athletes to participate in that full student experience.
That's an incredible perspective because I think of my college life, and the classes were hard and there were times that I was just, you know, pulling my hair out and pulling all-nighters, but I was having fun. You do see some of these kids and they just don't look like they're having fun. Even, let me put it this way, you know, going back to just last year, I just didn't think I saw Nico Mannion having as much fun as he should have been having. And maybe he was, but just watching him up close, it looked like it was too much of a job for him to just kind of let loose and play basketball.
And you don't have to stop with him.
There's a lot more like that, and they're everywhere.
Well, the good thing is there are a lot of really gifted athletes that we get to see, right? Because of weight training, nutrition, and exposure to professional sports, the athlete today sees more, knows more, can do more. In addition to that, the human race has just gotten bigger, stronger, faster.
Right, right.
And so as a result of that, we have some phenomenal athletes, extraordinary. You look at LeBron James at 6'9", 250, 260, chiseled out of granite, and the things he can do, and you get mesmerized by that kind of talent, right? And so that's exposure that we didn't have. We didn't have the weight training, nutrition. We didn't have that kind of stuff in the 60s and 70s. And so as a result of that, the athletes competed against their generation of athletes well. But this generation of athletes is quite different. And we just need to have an appreciation for their skills and talents. But I always hope it's fun, right?
Yeah, every you want it to be. It's supposed to be.
Every experience should be fun.
It should be.
You mentioned being a student body president. I think you're only one of two All-Americans at U of A to be a student body president. Do you know who the other one was? Was it Udall?
Yeah, Mo Udall.
Oh, that would have been my only guess. Yeah. So how was that? You know, you kind of politics and hoops and eclectic?
Yeah, I thought that was all part of the college experience. I was student body president of my high school as well, and I knew coming into the university that I'd like to participate in student government, and I had a chance to do that. And it was really fun because the athletes at the time really rallied around my candidacy and really went out and helped get votes out and everything else. I was really proud of the athletes because there are very few athletes who get to have that experience in college to have one of their peers elected student body president. So the athletes really worked hard at that. And I thought that was a great experience. And I grew up on an isolated farm in Minnesota in an all-white community. I moved to Southern California and went to an all-white high school. I came to the University of Arizona, and all of a sudden I found all these cultures and different people from different places, religion, ethnicities. It was fantastic. It was just such an exciting place for me. And I've relished that all these days, and I met some great young men when I was a freshman, sophomore at the university who just happened to be African-American. And if you recall, that was the civil rights movement in this mm-hmm. country. That was mm-hmm. 60, 61, 62, 63, that period, right? People were marching in the streets. And Olden Lee, who was a defensive back on the football team, Gail Hopkins, who was a track guide, long jumper, as you'll recall, at the University of Arizona, went on to become an Olympic medalist. They were two of my closest friends. And we used to sit and talk about what it meant to be a black person in a white society. They helped me appreciate and understand the journey that they had been on, which was so different than my journey. And it really helped me appreciate and understand that while I could never walk in their shoes, I could have great empathy and understanding for what they went through. They remained two of my closest friends my entire life. I talked to Olden Lee just a few days ago, and I spoke at Gail Hopkins' funeral. And they're just fantastic men because they helped me grow. I think that's the great thing about a university. That's a great thing about sports. It allows us to appreciate each other for who we are and what we bring to that event at that moment in time. And I think that's part of the humanitarian experience that we have to have in a university. And I'm hoping others have the same kind of experience I had because it changed the trajectory of my life. It made me a better person and a more understanding person. And I've always had that experience. And then our basketball team had a couple of experiences where we went to check into a hotel and the black athletes mm-hmm. were denied the opportunity mm-hmm. to stay. And so we all left, obviously. We went to a dance one night after a basketball game at a university that'll remain unnamed. And we were asked to leave the dance because there were black people on our team. And, you know, you get sensitized to things in a different way. And so as we look at the movement today and what's going on in the country today, right. It's not just the virus that we're dealing with today. We're dealing with civil justice and social unrest and those kinds of issues. And then you throw on top of that a presidential campaign, which is going to try to extort that whole process. It's pretty tough for citizens today in looking at what we're facing.
All right. Well, we're going to nominate you for the next athletic director at Arizona, the next president at Arizona, and the next executive director of the NCAA. And then if you want to run for president, we're all for that as well. How's that?
Yeah. Well, Jay, you have no idea how bad things could get.
Well, Warren, we appreciate you spending all this time with us. Fascinating stuff. It's a pleasure to talk to you, and you know, just some of the history that you bring around. It's fun to have you. So we hope we can do this again.
Well, I'd love to do it again. And you two guys do a great, great job for the city of Tucson and for university athletics. And I really enjoy listening to you. And thank you so much for what you contribute.
Thanks a bunch.
Thanks,
Warren.
A bunch, Warren.
Appreciate it.
Have a great evening.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. We'll take a break real quick here on 1030 The Voice.
Camille Rivas Rutherford with Coldwell Banker Realty has been one of the top producing real estate agents in Tucson, Oro Valley, Marana, and Vail for more than 20 years. Let her help you find your dream home in southern Arizona. Her passion and enthusiasm for real estate has helped her become one of the most respected and trusted realtors in the area. And she was recently named a recipient of Coldwell Banker's 2019 International President Circle Award. Camille's approach to sales and marketing and selling or buying a home is second to none. Give her a call at 520-250-5192.
It's those guys from Tucson Appliance Company, the best appliance company in Tucson.
For the month of July, we're going to donate 2% of our sales to a local charity from in-stock purchases.
Come shop at our store and work with our amazing sales team.
Dustin, David, Brian, Alex, me, and Peter.
You can choose from a list of local charities for us to donate to.
The only way we can give back is if you shop local.
Only at Tucson Appliance, where our low price is your priority.
There's a place in our house.
For 70 years, Benjamin Supply has been keeping Tucson flowing. Hygiene is our business. We help you achieve extreme clean. Minimize germ spreading with a hands-free sensor faucet. Forget the paper panic with a washlet seat. And speaking of waterworks, a big thanks to plumbers for their essential efforts during this health crisis. Shop our downtown showroom by appointment. Call us at 777-7000 or see all the products online at BenjaminSupply.com.
Thanks to Benjamin Plumbing Supply.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera alongside Jay Gonzalez. So, Jay, when was the last time you went to Smart Church?
Seriously, never, first of all.
Okay. But that's great stuff, isn't it?
But, you know, I had a great suggestion that we should just bottle that up, record it, and sell it as a webinar. I mean, holy cow, you know, what a great guy. And, you know, I've talked to Warren, you know, in a lot of different respects as a business person, you know, talk sports with him and stuff like that. And just... you know, he never disappoints and just always has great insight into everything. And just right off the top of his head, I mean, I asked him, if you're the NCAA executive director, how would you do this? Mm-hmm. And without skipping a beat, you know, he gave a great answer. And it's like, we're ready to make him the NCAA executive director.
Right, right. That's why he's become who he's become.
That's exactly. You know, you're that kind of guy, and great things happen to you, and you do great things, and you make great things happen. And that's what he's done with his life.
I wonder if he can solve my world problems.
Yeah,
I'll have to call him and let him know.
Yeah.
Hey, so a lot of things going on at U of A that we, you know, kind of miss because we talk a lot about football or whatever.
Right.
And not so much miss, but a lot of stuff going on. We talked maybe 2 weeks ago or so, Adia Barnes, someone threw her name out for the Duke job, yada, yada. We knew it was not going to happen. So something else happened.
Right. We need to close that loop because, you know, we threw that out there because we thought anything was going to happen. But, you know, when the Duke women's basketball coach job suddenly opened up kind of out of nowhere, you know, immediately ESPN named Adia as, you know, one of the top candidates for that job. And we talked about how those things happen. And literally, those things sometimes are just made up. Somebody says, okay, here's a good name. Let's throw that name out there. And just to close the loop on that, you know, Duke has hired their coach. They hired an assistant who was actually a female assistant who was in the NBA. And so they've got their coach. Adia's not going anywhere. And in fact, this last weekend, the U of A got commitment from two of the top high school players in the, you know, in the land. Well, actually, one's an international player.
In the world.
Say, in the planet, right? They got a top 40 recruit coming out of high school, a 6'3" center who's going to come here. And then she got a shooting guard from overseas or a point guard from overseas. And, you know, she's apparently got a three-person class right now. Well, these are committed athletes for the next recruiting class. So they can sign in November. it's for the 2021 class, so they wouldn't be here until the 2021-2022 season.
I think on her roster, she has four or five from overseas, I think.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
Yeah.
U of A has five or six from overseas.
Right.
I was talking to Corey Williams not too long ago, and do you know how U of A's point guard you? It's now Passport U. I'm using that.
You need to credit somebody with that. But, you know, Adia's just clearly got this program, you know, on a roll. And it's one thing when, you know, you have a great year and you know, those players leave and then you kind of rebuild or go back. She's clearly got the ball rolling with this program.
No question. In fact, didn't we talk about this maybe a week or so ago with maybe Anthony or maybe Lev when Richrod had the program going kind of in the right direction? They played in the festival because that rarely happens. They didn't capitalize on their success.
Right.
When
right.
you know that they should have.
They should have. And it happened a couple of times in the Dick Tomey administration and even with Larry Smith back in the day. So, you know, it's hard to keep it going. And, you know, again, these kids got to get here and they've got to play and we got to see how good they are. But, you know, on paper, she's clear. What she's done so far from a recruiting standpoint is clearly paying dividends right now. And, you know, let's see what happened. And let's not forget, the best recruit she got for the upcoming season was to keep Ari McDonald.
Right. No question. Right? I was going to say you that. Know, no.
There was a fan vote on the U of A athletic website and the fans voted that her 2018-2019 season, which was season before last, when she led the country in scoring and they won the WNIT and all that stuff, that people voted that as the greatest basketball season for a women's basketball player at the U of A ever.
Yeah.
Now, again, we have memory loss sometimes, and, you know, there have been some other great players who have come along, but...
Idea
was one of them.
Right, right.
But, you know, again, it's kind of... Man, this program right now is just off the charts.
And you know what the thing is, and you cover sports like I have over the years, I think one of the best things that happens to teams is when you get all that talent, they compete against each other. So the best way to get better is by competing against guys who are better or women who are better. And now Ari has a chance to go against his point guard, I think.
Ari will leave before she gets here.
But you have that connection of becoming better with competition.
Right, well, she's already got a class coming in this year that was, you know, one of the top classes around, so they should just keep getting better, and it kind of builds on itself. And that's how, I mean, when you think about how Arizona got to become Arizona, you know, we talked to Scott Thompson last week. They got good players, then they got better players, and then better, and it just built until it became this thing that Arizona basketball now is.
And Lute's teams became that. You had Richard Jefferson going against Luke Walton, blah, blah, blah. The guys who couldn't handle it left.
Exactly.
They transferred out.
They would transfer out because the competition was obviously just too much. So I'm not going to be able to play here, so I'm leaving. And, you know, God, look, you need to do what's the best thing for you. But, you know, there's nothing like competing and you know,
that's how you
succeeding.
Get better. That's how you get better.
That's how you get better.
Yeah, no
you know,
question.
And you put it up for guys who do stick around and compete and get better. You know, the TJ McConnells and the Solomon Hills and guys like that who stuck around. You know, Corey Williams, you know, who just stick around and do well and then, boom, they become somebody.
Lastly, junior colleges.
Yeah, we had Jim Monaco on, and that was at a time when things weren't looking so good.
Right.
And they're still kind of dicey, but the National Junior College Athletic Association announced today that they're going to push all their sports into or after the first of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, you know, and it's not as complicated for somebody like Pima that doesn't play football. It means... cross country is going to stay in the spring, in the fall, because that will allow those athletes to compete in track, and that's not a sport where people are, you know, close with each other. But sports like, you know, the men's and women's soccer and volleyball, and then we'll move into the spring, and then men's and women's basketball will not start till after the first of the year.
I want to get a hold of, maybe we can get a hold of Dave Cosgrove and talk about that. He just 2 years removed from a national title in soccer, one of the best programs in the country. See how that'll affect him in the spring.
Sure, but, you know, the Maricopa County Community College group has not decided what they were going to do. Now, all their chancellors recommended canceling all sports for the school year. maybe this will get them to step back a little bit and go ahead and have sports after the first of the year, the way the rest of the country is doing that. And that would hopefully, you know, hold things together for, you know, Pima and the other colleges we're sticking around.
It does give them borrowed time, some more wiggle room.
It does.
Right. It does. Because we're up against it now, maybe 10 days, two weeks from deciding about UA football, everybody's football.
All those things. The SEC athletic directors met today, and they didn't announce anything, but everybody believes that both them, the ACC, and the Big 12 are all going to announce something by the end of the month.
Right, right. You can't have BYU playing Notre Dame for 10 straight weeks.
Exactly.
Hey, let's take a break. Good show today.
Yeah, good Thank show. You. Warren Rustan was awesome. You know, if you're just catching the tail end of our show, be sure to go on our podcast and give them a listen.
Yeah, smart. You come out smarter.
We'll have some more great guests for you the rest of the week.
Yes, here on 10:30 The Voice. Thanks, everybody.
Have a great evening.